What's going on? This is your boy, Jay Will, your host of the Jay Will Podcast. Listen, this podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be considered to be a legal, health, tax, or professional advice of any kind. We're not responsible for any losses, damages, or liabilities that may arise from the use of this podcast. You can find the Jay Will Podcast homepage on rss.com under Jay Will Podcast. To donate to the podcast, please find the donate feature on the homepage, or you may do so via Cash App at $JWillPodcast. Follow my music page at James Williams Music on Facebook. This podcast is brought to you by J. Will Music Production, LLC. For more information, hit me up at either the LeeWillTheLetterJ@gmail.com or J. Will Music Production, LLC@gmail.com. This podcast is also sponsored to you by Chris Crane and Charlie's Music Factory. For all of your production needs, call Mr. Chris Crane. Hit him up at Charlie's Music Factory at gmail.com. Don't forget to tune into my radio station, J. Will Gospel Radio. Go ahead and download the Live 365 app from the Play Store. It's free. And type in J. Will Gospel Radio, 24/7 gospel all over the world. Let's make this happen. Ladies and gentlemen, homies and homies, homes killers, you won't believe who I have in the studio with me today. None other than the most honorable Bishop Liston Page II. How you doing, sir?
Jay Will, I appreciate that introduction, but it's a joy to be on with you today, man. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, sir. I'm just an old man, just trying to make it.
I know that feeling.
Yes, sir. So where are you from?
I'm from New York City, born and raised in Harlem and raised in Spanish Harlem.
Wow. New York City.
You know, New York City.
I was in New York City a few years back.
And really?
I went to Chinatown, and that was the first time I ever seen skint ducks in the window with nooses around their necks.
What?
It was some Chinese joint on the corner. And they had rotisserie duck. They had to still had the head on. I was like, oh my God, this is kind of weird to me.
What time did you go? Did you went down in the afternoon, that night? Where did you go?
We actually went that morning because we were in Connecticut.
Okay.
My nephew has a church over there in Hartford, Connecticut. And so we decided to drive over to New York. And so it cost me $35 to get in, $50 to park, and $40 to get out.
Correct.
That was expensive. We should have just took the train.
Correct. It's very, very expensive. But in Chinatown, it never closes down.
So really?
You can go to Chinatown 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning and get a full meal. Anything you want. Anything.
That's insane.
It's crazy. But that's New York.
Hey, that's New York. Never sleep. I'm praying for you guys up there in New York. Y'all got some stuff going on at the college up there. They supposed to be getting the education. They up there clowning. Stop all this. You know, stop all this clowning. That's just me. I know why they say they're doing it, but what they're doing don't make no sense because they're prohibiting other people from getting education. But I digress. We're going to go on, Bishop. Don't get me started on so. If it's the one thing you learn about Jay Will, I don't like unnecessary stuff.
I understand. Trust me, I understand.
I don't like unnecessary. I'm ex-military. I like things in a structured, particular manner. And if you take me out of my comfort zone with strictness and proficiency, then I'm all upset and disturbed. So,
well, what's your faith practice? Are you out of what denomination? Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal? What is your faith practice?
Oh, that's a good question. So I grew up Church of God in Christ.
Okay, well then you know, did you should be used to chaos.
Well, let me finish, bitch. Leave the grand old church alone. So I grew up Church of God in Christ. My grandmother was Baptist.
Okay, so structure.
Yeah, I would go to the Baptist church and the Church of God in Christ. My mother was a pianist, and she played piano for the Methodist church. More structure. When I was in the military, I was attending an Episcopal church, more structure. When I lived on the west side of Chicago, my parents enrolled us in Catholic school.
Wow.
Catholic school at the same time I was going to Church of God in Christ. And so, and then I also played organ for Apostolic Church. So I've been several different churches, joined the military, more structure, got out of the military, still structured. Cause I, so that's my background.
Well, I'm apostolic Pentecostal.
Yeah.
So I do understand we have high pneumatology, but sometimes very low ecclesiology.
So yes, sir.
Structure is not always there. You know, Church of God in Christ, my best friend is the presiding bishop, J.J. Shears. I always tease him a lot about how structured they are politically within a Pentecostal construct, which is really strange.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, just to let you know that we are kindred spirits. Now, I pastored, and I was non-denominational.
Okay.
I pulled out of Church of God in Christ.
Okay.
Because I baptized in Jesus' name. So wow. I just want to throw that out there. So you know wow. that I'm structured.
No, that Jay Will, that's very interesting. But I was talking to someone today about that. The baptism in Jesus' name and the Orthodox Father, Son, Holy Spirit formula or model. And to be quite honest with you, I think it's semantics. I really think it is semantics. The Church of God in Christ, they don't believe in three gods. They're monotheistic just like we are.
Right.
I think it's semantics that causes us to have some differences.
Now, you know, we can stay on this subject a while, but I'm going to say this and I got to move on because I got to find out. But this is what got me. When I started pastoring and started baptizing in Jesus' name, Matthew 28, where it talked about, go ye therefore in all nations, baptizing them in the name
of the Father
and of. All right. So the name was singular,
mm-hmm.
which means that the two preceding statements that come after the conjunctions can stand alone. But the word name means singular.
Correct.
Because we kept giving God all these names based on what his actions were, he gave us a name that was above all names by which men should be saved.
That's right.
Now, we pray for people's healing. Don't get me started, Bishop. We pray for people's healing in Jesus' name. We bless our babies in Jesus' name. We pray for all this stuff in Jesus' name. We call it so. Why do I have to baptize in titles when I could baptize in the name that he gave us? And that's why I started doing it.
No, I agree with you. I think that when you look at church history, though, the church fathers and the patristics, when they had these councils, they were trying to determine Christology and the personage of Jesus Christ. And they come up with these terms, homoousia, fully God, fully man, at the same time. And we that are apostolic, modelists, they viewed us as being heretics. But again, I just believe it's semantics. I really believe it's semantics. And that's the only difference that we have. It's not that much of a difference to keep us separated.
Right. And to be honest with you, I'm not as stricter on that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Just get baptized. Jesus was baptized into repentance.
That's right.
That's how that was John's baptism. But hey, right. Bishop, we got to move here, Bishop, because there's somebody out there that needed to hear this and needed to get this short Bible study.
I believe
and
that.
If you need more information about that, hit me up, LeeWilder@gmail.com. All right, Bishop, when did you get started in music?
You're not going to believe this. When I was 15, 16, I started playing for Savoy Records as a drummer.
Really?
I played for Inez Andrews, Dorothy Norwood, the Barrett Sisters, the O'Neill Twins, Cleophas Johnson, James Cleveland, the Gospel Music Workshop, New Jersey Mass Choir, Mississippi Mass Choir. I mean, I played drums, Genobia Jeter. I mean, these are people I play for on their albums as a drummer. But once I got into ministry, I got away from music that way, to be very honest with you.
So I can already tell that if you played on albums with all those people, your pocket presence has to be there.
It's there.
Because them folks weren't playing all this. No. Pocket. Keep the
change. J-Will, watch this. I played for 2 summers, probably 2 years, for Shirley Caesar on the road.
See that? Man. Right. I'm going back to look at some of this footage. You probably,
I'm telling you. I mean, I was the drummer. She had Barbara Amos. Remember, Bishop Barbara Amos was the drummer. Right. Well, she was a preacher. There was another gentleman named Carl that came after her. And then Shirley Caesar and Carl got into it. She fired him. And I just so happened to get the job. And I worked, you know, and on, off and on the road with her for 2 summers straight. And then I realized this is not what God has called me to do.
Right.
I left and got into ministry.
So I would assume that was the Bishop Page with the afro.
You are completely right. Listen, I'm 63 now.
So oh, that God happened bless you.
When I was 17, 18 years old.
Yeah. I wouldn't have guessed you was in your 60s.
Well, God's been preserving me.
Yeah. Oh, man. So how long have you been preaching?
35, 38 years. I've been pastoring for 26 years and been in ministry about 38.
Now, are there any other preachers or pastors in your family?
Yes, my sister pastors and my brother pastors. My sister pastors in Charleston, South Carolina, and my brother pastors in Utica, New York.
So what about musicians? Any other musicians in your family?
You know, you're not going to believe this. Everybody sings except me.
No,
I don't sing.
So who was that on the last, your latest project?
Well, that's me, but I don't call that singing. I'm a preacher that puts lyrics and scripture to music.
So who wrote that song?
I wrote it. Jay Will, so, I wrote it.
How many songs have you written?
Oh, man. Jay Will, I wrote one song 25, 30 years ago for the Barrett sisters entitled, Oh, Give Thanks Unto the Lord. I got out of the music industry, never picked it up again. But let me tell you something that happened. The beginning of this year, or really the end of last year, I told the Lord I wanted to amplify my voice and my footprint. I just wanted to do something different. And never thought it was music. I'm just riding down the street. I'm listening to Sirius radio. A Norman Hutchins song comes on. Norman's a good friend of mine. I preached for Norman, you know, at his conferences. I call him on the phone and say, Norman, I just heard the song, man. It's great. Da-da-da-da-da-da. I said, I want to do music. He started laughing on the phone at me. He said, Bishop, you do music? I said, Norman, I just feel led to do music. He said, I'll tell you what you do. When you come up with some lyrics, you call me. I said, okay, no problem. That Sunday, I'm up exhorting the church. You know how that is. And I'm giving them prophetic affirmation. I said, touch your neighbor and say, I know what I heard. Touch your neighbor. Tell them, I know what I see. Touch your neighbor. Tell them I know what I feel, but I still believe God. And the church just erupted. So everywhere I went to preach after that, I went into that affirmation and the same response. So I called Norman. I said, Norman, I got a song. He said, what is it, Bishop? I said, I know what I heard. I know what I see. I know what I feel. But through all of that, I still believe God. And It was silence on the phone for like 30 to 45 seconds. I said, Norman, did I lose you? And I heard him sniffling, and he says this, Bishop, I gotta go. Can I call you back? I said, yeah, call me back. Well, call me back was 3 to 4 days later. And guess what, J. Will? He said, I'm sending you something. I want you to hear it. Norman went in the studio and did a full demo of that song.
Wow.
And sent it to me. That's how that song was birthed.
Man, I'm trying to be dignified. I'm trying to hold it together, Bishop. I'm trying to hold it together because what you just said was very powerful. Because I was like, man, I still believe God.
Even
with everything that's going on in the, you know, socioeconomic and political climate.
Correct.
The, you know, the neighborhood climate, you know, I still believe God. I still let the church say amen.
And that's why I believe it's really prophetic.
It is.
Because everything we're hearing, everything we're actually seeing unfold, even what we feel going on in our bodies. I mean, I can feel a change going on. I can feel it in the climate, the atmosphere. The church world is not the same since the pandemic. We got to be honest. I mean, I know what I feel, but in spite of that, I still believe God.
So, people, you need this music. Bishop, where can they get this song from?
Man, they can go to any digital outlet, any digital. We're on all the digital platforms. Of course, they can follow me, Listen Page, Two Ministries, on every social media outlet. They can go to IR Music Group. Because watch this, Norman Hutchins, he produced the song. So now I'm a part of his label, and we're working on a full project.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm talking about right there. Listen, the prophet said it was going to rain. And then the other man said, I don't see no clouds. He said, hey. There's a cloud over there about the size of a man's fist.
That's right.
So we may not see it. Somebody else saw it. When you explained to him what the song was, and he saw that small cloud up there the size of a man's hand.
That's right.
And then there was a downpour. So people, you need this song. Go on any digital platform and download this song. And if you want to listen to it on the radio, go to Live 365 app, download Live 365, and pull up J. Will Gospel Radio. I'm already having it in rotation on my station. I've been playing the song for about 2-3 weeks now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man, now what kind of response have you gotten, J. Will?
I get response. Now, to quantify how many responses I have from your song would be highly inaccurate because I get responses from a whole lot of music, and it's hard to remember which song gets the most responses.
Mm-hmm.
But I know every time, because I listen to my own radio station every day, all day.
Wow.
And when I hear it come on, I say, oh, I know that voice. Yep. That's Dr. Page right there. That's Dr. Page. So I know it's getting played, you know, and I've also featured it on a couple of my shows. The Unsigned Artist Gospel Show and the J. Will Gospel Show. So I know the song's getting airplay. So the full project is coming.
It's coming. J. Will, we're working on, man, I got a song. J. Will, I'm telling you. Norman's going to be upset when I say this, but I got to tell you, you're the first one to hear this. I was in house because everything I've written has come during our worship at my church.
Yeah.
And they come as words of affirmation, prophetic words of inspiration. On Sunday, I got them and said, miracles are in the air. Miracles are in the air. I called Norman and said, Norman, miracles are in the air. He said, don't say no more. Hung up the phone. and about a day later sent me another demo. So that's how we've been writing these songs and doing this music.
Wow. Wow. Hey, Pastor Norman Hutchins is a great friend to have.
Great guy. Once he puts this special sauce on it and the anointing of God, you got something.
You got something. You got something. So let's translate the song into modern times.
Okay.
You were preaching and the Lord began to drop things into your spirit concerning the song, I Still Believe God. And through the three sentences of lyrics came a whole song with album cover released, SRC code, the whole nine yards, produced by none other than Dr. Pastor Norman Hutchins. And now the song's out. How do you continue to convey that message via song? So when you get ready to preach, do you sing the song before you preach? So I guess I'm asking, how does your music venture parallel or coincide or coexist with your preaching ministry?
You know what? That's a great question. And I've been struggling with that. And I'm going to tell you why. Before the song was released, because I preached for everybody, basically, I mean, everybody you can imagine, I have influence. I have connections. So I can call some people that the average person probably could not call. So First thing I did, I called Kurt Carr. I called Marvin Winans, Bishop Marvin Winans, Karen Clark Shear, Dorinda. You know, my friends. Sent them the song because that's what they do.
Right.
And each person, let me add Paul Morton to that. I called Bishop Paul Morton and sent him the song. All of them are going to be very candid with me because I have a relationship with them.
Right, right.
So I knew if they said, listen, no, you don't need to do this, I wouldn't have done it. But each one of them said, man, this is a hit. Wow, there's something here. But each of them also said to me, just what you said, how are you going to get it out? Are you going to sing it? Because you're not a singer. What is your plan? What is your goal? And I said to them, you know what? I don't know. You're going to have to tell me. So Karen said to me, she said, listen, you're going to have to get up every time you stand before people and promote it like you would a book that you've written. You wrote books, promote it the same way. Send the stems to whatever church you're going to. Ask the praise and worship team. Learn the song, learn the music. Do it as an altar call. Do it as an introduction to your sermon. But to be honest, J. Will, and I guess I should be this transparent to the world, that's not why I got into it. I didn't get into this to be an artist. Yeah. I just wanted to amplify my voice and my footprint to the world. I didn't do it for money. I didn't do it for popularity. I think God has blessed me that I have enough of both of that. You can always have more, but I didn't get into it for that. I got into it to send out a positive message to the world. And that's the truth.
So, you know, it's funny how God works. Sometimes God has the biggest sense of humor of anybody, you know, because he can take something that you just meant to get off of you because he gave it to you. And then he'll turn around and now you got to work at keeping in production what he gave you to begin with. You're like, hey, dude, you the one gave this to me. Won't you do it? Like, no, I gave it to you. But I think that, you know, Karen gave you great advice.
She did.
When you get ready to go preach somewhere, send the music before you. Say, I want your praise team to sing this before I preach. And then when you get up, have one of them hard copies in your hand. and walk in the audience and give it to one of them old mothers who still got a CD player. That's where you got to work it. You know what I'm saying? like I, you know, even and I know that the song is a blessing because, you know, as soon as I heard the introduction, I was already sold. Because you got to, wow. I listen to a whole lot of music, you know.
Wow.
Because I'm uploading music on my radio station all the time. And as soon as I heard this music, I was like, uh-oh, I ain't even got to listen to this. I already know. But just for giggles, I continued to listen. And it was just as I, you know, my splendid anticipatorial was correct. It was
Jay Will. Let me tell you something. At the end of the song, I was really embarrassed, to be honest, because what? as we're recording the song in the studio, I'm recording it, and I've never done this. Norman takes me in the studio, says, "Put the headphones on." He says, "Now, whatever comes to your spirit, you say it. Just say it. Say it with the words that God gave you." And as we got into it, I mean, it really turned worship into the studio. I'm weeping. By the time it's over, I'm actually literally crying. I'm so embarrassed. And Norman says to me, he says, "Man," he said, "That's God right there." He said, this is God. Because it was unscripted. It was really unscripted.
See, and that's why the song is so powerful. Because you can feel the anointing of God in the song, and while you're listening to it, the capacity of the anointing that God poured into you for that song is now seeping out and destroying yokes.
Wow.
And that's why that song is so powerful. Like, man, I listened to it, I was like, man, okay, I ain't gonna let Bishop get me up in here, boy. Let me go listen to some Parliament right quick. Because I ain't trying to go in wipe. So I listened. I said, "Okay, I'm gonna turn this off," because I felt myself going in. I was like, "I got too much work to do right now. I can't be going in right now." So I did, for real, y'all. I turned on some Parliament right quick, some Atomic Dog, and I was Bow Wow, Yippee Yo, and Yippee Yay. And then I was able to move on to some other stuff. Oh my God!
Oh,
so,
Jesus.
If the people want you to come to their church to either preach or present this music, how can they do that?
All they have to do is contact me at Listen Page 2 Ministries on Facebook, Instagram, my YouTube channel, my mobile app. Just download it. And there's a place that you can send me an email, or you can send me at highwaychurchpatterson@gmail.com. I mean, I would love to come and minister. Now, I don't know about singing, but but I would just love to come and minister. And I'm really excited about this, Jay Will. I'm very honest about that. I'm excited because I believe there's other people that may not ever be able to sit and hear a homiletically sound message, but through the genre of this music, they're going to be blessed.
So if you wanted to encourage a young preacher, what would you tell him right now?
This is what I would say. With the call should come a burden to study and prepare.
I don't think they heard you, Bishop. I don't think they heard you. No, somebody need to hear this. Say it one more time, Bishop.
With the call, when God called you, that call should also be accompanied with a burden to study and prepare and to maximize the giftings, your capacity, in order to be an effective witness, preacher, communicator, teacher for the kingdom of God.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So now I'm going to ask you a different question. How do you encourage, because you know, you in this field now, you got a young artist and a young musician. How do you encourage them at this point?
You know what I would say? And that's a great question. I think that gospel music, if it's going to be gospel, not just inspirational, gospel music, because there's a difference in inspirational music and gospel music, in my opinion. Gospel means the euangelion, the good news of Jesus Christ, or the kerygma, the message of his life, birth, ministry, heinous, ignominious death, resurrection. That's the message of salvation. That's the gospel.
That's the gospel.
That's the gospel. If you're going to do gospel music, it should be filtered through a healthy theology. If it's filtered through a healthy theology, then your lyrics are going to be right on target, in my opinion. But it's got to be a healthy theology, a healthy hermeneutic. It can't be eisegetical. It should be laced and filtered through a theological mindset. And the reason I say that, people may not remember a sermon, but they will remember a song. And if the song is filtered through theology, then they're going to hear lyrics that are in line with their practice of faith.
Hey, you know what? What you just said was so profound, because I have a song for everything. Like, so it was my daughter's birthday and my wife made a cake and they was all in the kitchen and I started singing, "Cut the cake, cut the cake. Give me a little piece. Come on, listen to me. Cut the cake." And it was like, what are you doing? I said, "I'm singing Cut the Cake by Average White Band." They ain't never heard that song before. But I remember the song and I correlated it with the cake. So if you're theologically and homiletically sound in your music, if somebody's going through pain, that's right, they remember in the song, Jesus is a burden lifter, a heavy load bearer. They, you know, if you're in a fire, he can bring you out of the fire. If you're sick, he can deliver you from the sickness. So I get it, Bishop. I appreciate that.
You know, I think, Jay Will, me personally, I am unapologetically an exclusivist. I'm not an inclusivist. And I'm not talking about the gospel of inclusion. I'm talking about inclusivist in terms of, I don't believe that there's multiple vehicles to God. I'm an exclusivist. I believe there is one vehicle to God. And you know why I believe that? Because Jesus said it in John 14. It said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." I believe that. So I can't get away from Jesus. See, there was a time when his name meant something.
I'm trying not to go there. I'm trying. There was a time.
His name meant something. And I think we become so inclusive because we don't want to be offensive that we tend to minimize our panacea, our cure-all, our Messiah, and his name is Jesus. He's the God. He that knew no sin became sin, that we could become the righteousness of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and we beheld his glory. It became flesh and dwelt among us. I just believe that. Now that's, I make no apologies about it. And I'm not downing or denigrating anybody else's faith practice. But I believe that Jesus is God in the flesh that have come back to redeem man back to himself. That's what I believe.
Hey, you know, if I was Noel Jones, I would say, the Christology of Christ is... the word was emphatically, stay with me here. that's what he would do, you know, but that's that, but the Christology of Christ, it's that, you know, the word became flesh.
I believe that.
We beheld his face.
I, I, Listen, I believe that. And I think, now, of course, I don't consider myself an artist. So you're talking about someone that is a neophyte in this business as it relates to the music. But, and I may have a very idealistic view because of the position that I sit in. But I just believe the gospel, if it's the gospel, the euangelion, the good news of Jesus Christ, the good news of salvation, teaching us about being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ and going back to the Imago Dei, the image of God. If that's what the gospel is, I don't see nothing wrong with filtering our lyrics through theology.
Man. Bishop, let me tell you, I have enjoyed this interview.
Oh man, I've enjoyed being with you, Jay.
Man, you have taught me so much in this short period of time. We're gonna have to stay connected after this.
For sure.
And so whenever I don't normally do this, but don't hang up after we get done, because I'm going to this phone. My phone is always ringing. I thought I turned it off. I can't say that it was the devil. We bring too much stuff on the devil. I forgot to turn the vibrator off on the phone. It wasn't the devil, folks. That was me. Stop giving the devil so much credit. But don't hang up. Don't hang up. Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard from the most awesome man of the hour, Bishop Liston Page II. His song, I Still Believe, is on all digital platforms. Go and download that song. He's giving you his information, where you can find him. And if you need to get in touch with him, hit me up, LeeWillTheLetterJ@gmail.com. And don't forget to follow my music page, James Williams Music, on Facebook. Also, go to Live365 in the Play Store, download that free app, and type in J. Will Gospel Radio. If you're an unsigned artist or you're a signed artist, want your music featured on my show, hit me up, LeeWillTheLetterJ@gmail.com or J. Will Music Production, LLC@gmail.com. All right, may the Lord God bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you, and may the Lord God give you peace. We're out. Let's go.